Now on the line I have Rosie Bissett from the Dyslexia Association of Ireland.
Morning.
Good morning, Rosie. How are you?
Not too well, thank you.
Rosie, dyslexia, what is it?
Okay, well, I suppose in its simplest terms, and unfortunately this is a complex condition, we would describe it as a specific learning difficulty that I suppose primarily affects the acquisition of literacy skills. So it's seen generally, usually first, in terms of a child who's not picking up reading, writing and spelling as you would expect. But then it also does have, it can impact on other areas. So for some people, it has an impact on maths, but not for all. It often has a component where there's maybe sometimes difficulties with memory as well, both sometimes short-term memory and also then retrieval of information for long-term memory. So that would be, for example, why people with dyslexia find exams particularly difficult as well, because of, you know, the memory load and also the literacy difficulties combined with that.
So I note that 91% of teachers say that unidentified dyslexia damages a child's self-esteem. What's that about?
Well, I suppose one of the things that we know is that, like with a lot of conditions, early identification and early intervention are very important. If you catch dyslexia early and you support a child and teach, you know, in terms of suitable teaching strategies, maybe assistive technology, things like that, you basically prevent them falling further and further behind. So if a child doesn't have their difficulties identified, then they do fall further and further behind, and the gap between them and their peers gets wider. And aside from the fact that obviously their difficulties with literacy will impact on them quite significantly with learning across all subjects, because school is very literacy heavy in terms of reading and writing, but also the impact it has on their self-esteem. You know, these are bright children who, you know, are, you know, very capable in lots of areas, but their difficulty is quite specific in literacy. So they get it in school, they take in information, you know, really well, but they struggle to perhaps read fluently. They struggle to get their thoughts down on paper when they're under time pressure. So they become increasingly aware of the fact that, you know, it's difficult for them, and the frustration that causes, you know, and anxiety, and they end up, you know, sometimes losing belief in themselves and thinking they're not able, when in fact they have lots of ability. It's just that if their dyslexia isn't picked up, and if they don't get the supports to help them work around it, then it becomes quite a block for them.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Back in around 1965-66, a young lad in a primary school in Fairview was having difficulty with reading, or standing up in the class and he was asked to read, and the next thing he was scrunching his face and he was twisting his nose and you name whatever, and stumbling over the words and so forth. Everyone thought he needed glasses, so he was brought off to the Eye and Ear Hospital, and he was brought here, there and everywhere. And eventually an old, we'll call him professor, turned around and said, "Asher, that young man's got a touch of dyslexia, that's all." And I was that young boy. And it did, and I have to say, all through my going through school, I always had a difficulty with reading. Yeah. And I hadn't realised till you just actually said it there, was putting your thoughts down on paper. I find that quite difficult. If you ask me to talk about it, I can talk about it till the cows come home.
No problem, yes.
But if you ask me to put it down on paper, suddenly I find that quite difficult.
You sound like you have, I suppose, a lot of the classic dyslexic traits, but also I suppose you're a great example of someone who's used your strengths, your wonderful talking ability and communication skills, you know, into the career that you're in now, you know, which is what dyslexics can also be very good at. They get good at, you know, maybe working to their strengths, you know. I don't know if that's something, if you would have found that as well.
Well, most definitely. I'm actually retired now. I retired earlier this year. But I've had a number of different careers through my life, and all of them were people focused. Mm-hmm. I started off. I was a butcher at one stage. Mm-hmm. I ran meat shops for a large supermarket business. I then went into property PR. Once again, selling the business to people directly. And one of the great strengths that I had, I think, was that I could empathize with people. Mm-hmm. I could see things from their point of view, mm-hmm. and always put that forward. Being able to see a problem from someone else's point of view enables mm-hmm. you then to solve it to everyone's so everyone's happy. But one of the things I firmly believe is that just like somebody who has shall we say a hearing impairment or sight difficulties, other senses pick up and mm-hmm. become sharper. And I think it's the same way with somebody who's got dyslexia, that yes, they have an issue in one area, but other mm-hmm. areas become much stronger, that compensate mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I suppose one of the things, you know, I've seen so many examples of it, that I think the adversity, whatever it is, as you say, whether it's dyslexia or any other kind of challenge, drives creativity, you know, and it forces people to develop skills in different ways. We did a survey earlier this year, and over 70% of adults with dyslexia very much said the same. They felt that their dyslexia has enabled them to develop skills in other areas. So a lot of the kind of things like you've mentioned yourself, so things like problem solving, creativity, really good at interacting, communicating with people, you know, as opposed to dealing with the written word, you know, oral language is the strength, you know. So yeah, I think that's definitely something that a lot of people would see, and that's also why our theme for Dyslexia Awareness Week this year is hidden potential, that people with dyslexia have, you know, have great skills and talents, and it's by, you know, I suppose if their needs are identified early, then you can minimize maybe the negative that sometimes dyslexia can cause. You know, if you remember how you felt, you know, as the child in class, you know, it doesn't feel good if you're the one who's stumbling and stuttering over your reading, you know. So if you can minimize those maybe negative experiences that can possibly happen if the needs aren't identified and picked up early, then you can really work more on turning it into a positive, you know, focusing as well as supporting the development of literacy skills and learning. You can also look at supporting the child to find where their talents are, to develop those, because that's just as important, you know, for the individual.
Most definitely. And Dyslexia Awareness Week, can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, so Dyslexia Awareness Week is always, it's the first week of October, and the whole month is actually Dyslexia Awareness Month right across Europe, and in fact, most countries in the world. And I suppose it's just an opportunity for all of us, you know, who whether we're touched by dyslexia or work by it, to open up the dialogue about it, for people to talk about it and, you know, share their experiences, try and get a little bit of awareness raising, which you're helping to do today. And also, again, as you know, you're recounting your own experiences as well, and that's really important. One of the things we have running as part of the campaign is on social media. We have the sort of I wish you knew hashtag. And we're asking people to share, just whether it's a short little message or a little video contribution about what they would like other people to know about dyslexia, you know. And that can be, as I say, I suppose both maybe the, you know, I wish, you know, my teacher didn't ask me to read out loud, you know, because it made me put me on the spot, you know, when I struggled with it. Or it could be a really positive thing of, I wish people knew that people with dyslexia, you know, were great at problem solving and are really good communicators and have lots of, you know, talents as well.
Yes, and one of the benefits to me in business was that when I had to write a report or anything, I kept it really brief, because
and that's a huge skill.
it's absolutely a huge skill. Maybe Twitter is a great benefit for
the ultimate brief report. Yes.
Exactly, yeah. I worked with. CEOs who always said, if you can't put it on one page, don't bother bringing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, give me the plan on one page, and we can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else can you tell me about? I believe there was you had some research. And you released some research recently.
We did, yes. Every couple of years we do kind of a state of the nation research with parents, adults, students with dyslexia and also teachers to just get a snapshot of that kind of, I suppose, what we would call the lived experience of dyslexia, what it's like in reality for people. And certainly, look, things are a lot better than they were 20 years ago, but unfortunately there is still a way to go. You know, the experience of children in the classroom, of parents, is very hit and miss. You know, people can be lucky if the teacher that their child has maybe has done some extra training on dyslexia. But I suppose one of the biggest things we've seen from our surveys, and unfortunately this hasn't changed, you know, from the last time we did a major survey a couple of years ago, the biggest thing that's needed is teacher training on dyslexia. Okay, over 90% of teachers are telling us that they need extra training on dyslexia. The majority of them, didn't get anything specific on dyslexia in their initial teacher training. So, you know, they've done their, you know, 3-year course, 4-year course. You know, they're going into classrooms to teach, but like one in every 10 individuals has dyslexia, so that's 3 in every classroom. So in fairness to teachers, it's difficult for them to identify it if they haven't had sufficient input on it in their teacher training courses. So certainly teachers are calling for, you know, more training on dyslexia in terms of both how they can identify it and how they can support students in the classroom. And also parents would be very much in agreement with this. And also the students that we surveyed. The majority of all of those groups see the need for more training on dyslexia so that we can create more of a level playing field, so that it doesn't matter what school you go to or what teacher you happen to have, you know, each school, each teacher should have sufficient information to understand, you know, the basics of what dyslexia is, how it might present in the classroom, and most importantly, you know, how they can support that student, both in terms of their perhaps difficulties with literacy, but also to recognise and support and develop their talents and their strengths in other areas, you know, and also to be very aware of the impact on self-esteem, because again, that's well recognised that if dyslexia isn't identified and isn't well supported, it really can have an impact. And unfortunately, we'll say there is research to show that adults with dyslexia are more likely to suffer from, you know, anxiety, you know, low self-esteem, mental health difficulties even, particularly if their dyslexia wasn't picked up, you know, and they didn't get support with it.
Yes, I find it a little hard to understand 50 years on from when I won't call it diagnosed, but when I first was recognised as having something, that our teachers, that it isn't more prevalent and more understood within schools of dyslexia, and that there mm-hmm. isn't more being done.
Mm-hmm.
I find it mind-boggling, because at this stage, all teachers know about it, and I think maybe, as you said, they're not being taught.
They don't know enough about it, and even certainly what you would see is I don't think there's a teacher in the country heard of dyslexia at this stage, but unfortunately, a lot of them do not understand exactly what it is. Some of them, you know, have myths about dyslexia that are still persistent. There are still the occasional, you know, dinosaurs perhaps who will kind of dispute that it even exists. But I mean, certainly the majority of teachers, they have a basic knowledge, but I think the issue is that their knowledge isn't sufficient in most cases, and teachers are saying this themselves, that they need more training, because dyslexia is very common. As you say, it affects 1 in 10. There's at least 3, in other words, in every classroom in Ireland. So look, those individuals, they deserve and have a right to have their needs identified and to get, you know, a reasonable level of support to enable them to achieve their potential.
So, Rosie, just for our listeners, if somebody has needs any more information or wants to get in touch, how can they do that?
Well, I'd say our website is a great first port of call. It's dyslexia.ie, and there's lots of information on there, and we also have a facility on there where you can listen to the website, so you can click on a button and it'll all be read out, so in case, you know, because obviously there's a lot of information on there in case anyone has difficulty with reading. And we also then have our information helpline, which is 01 877 6001. And our national office is based here on Talbot Street. So if people are nearby, they're also welcome to drop in as well if they have queries.
Rosie, thank you for coming on and talking to us today.
And thank you for sharing your own story with dyslexia as well. Always great to hear.
Absolutely delighted. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.